You wanna know what this is? This is a fucking wasted stint at community college and every bad decision I've ever made staring me right in the fucking face is what this is.
Was it an expensive community college?
What was the expense? This encounter is the fucking expense. My whole life has been the fucking expense. My kids, you want to fucking tell your friends your dad's an antique appraiser? What's your fucking dad do? Oh, he fucking knows the price of porcelain rats.
What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to get a better view of the appraisals happening tonight. And I know to some of you that might be a bad thing. I understand. You might hate appraisals. You might hate antiques. You might hate discovering the true value of what your shit's worth. But you know what? I firmly disagree. I think finding out the value of shit is the hallmark of what we stand for as a materialistic society. Am I right?
Yeah.
You guys like this?
Yeah.
All right, so now, ladies and gentlemen, by the powers vested in me, I hereby declare this meeting of the Friendly Town City Council to order. Chant it with me.
Friendly Town! Friendly Town! Friendly Town! Friendly Town! Friendly Town! Friendly Town!
Yay! All right, that was an idea pitched last week. Friendly Town goes to the club. We're going to be doing that maybe. Maybe if Brad really talks us into it. Now, this week on Friendly Town, it is Friendly Town gets its antiques appraised.
Yay!
Those of you guys who are here, or those of you who might be listening at home, if you're familiar with the show Antiques Roadshow, you guys fans of Antiques Roadshow?
Yeah!
All right, we're doing this anyway. I don't give a shit. I was describing the show to someone earlier, and I said, basically, this episode of Friendly Town is going to be like the Antiques Roadshow on acid. And then our bartending mayor, Todd, says, wait, you mean that the people at Antiques Roadshow weren't already on acid? Fair enough. By the way, give it up for your bartending mayor, Todd.
Thank you.
Now, some of you might not know this, but Todd actually is an expert in the whatever type of antique that Bryce Housiel is bringing tonight. That is how tonight's show is going to... Oh, I didn't realize there was a drawing on the back of this. This is going to be really good for the podcast. This is the point where Tyler flipped over the paper with the show program on it and saw a really good picture of a really pissed off looking girl thinking, get real. I'm speechless. All right, so this is how the show's going to work tonight. We're going to be doing kind of a rapid-fire sort of thing where we're going to have 11 rounds tonight. That's the number of people who are on the list for Friendly Town. 11 different people are going to be bringing priceless antiques from either their grandma's attics or their own attics or their archives or Carm or whatever they, you know, wherever they found these things. By the way, those of you listening outside Knoxville, Carm is Knoxville Area Rescue Ministries, blah, blah, blah. It's like Goodwill, but for Knoxville and Christian. And that's where people probably got some of these items tonight. But we're okay. We're okay with that because every single round is going to have one person who is going to show up with an item to be appraised. And the other comedian is going to be an expert in that item. Like, you know, the most knowledgeable person on earth in that line or the history of that item. So to demonstrate, I would like to invite our bartending mayor, Todd, to bring up our first antique of the night. And I'm going to praise it because I am clearly an expert in whatever he's about to bring up.
Yeah!
Also, yeah, throw it on the table so everyone can see it. All right. So... All right, so what do we have here, Mr. Lewis?
It is a box of 43s, the Richard Petty cereal.
tell us a little bit how you found this item.
Well, it was a Christmas.
In such good condition.
It was a Christmas present from my brother years ago. I'm curious to know how much it's worth because I'm looking to get it insured. You know, I'm not looking to sell it, but I would like to know how much it's worth so I can put it on my policy.
Okay. All right. Well, you obviously have a very rich family history with these 43s,
yes.
The Richard Petty 43s. As we see from the box here, it is a very rare vintage. It was manufactured by Cheerios Racing, which was a very short-lived division of Cheerios that was devoted squarely to sponsoring stock car racers. I don't know. There might have been. There was actually one famous stock car racer who was British, coincidentally, whose car was just a big yellow car that had the Cheerios logo on it. It was a really. He came in 43rd, I think, in the Daytona 500 last year.
Yeah. He wasn't actually sponsored. It just said Cheerio because that's how British people say hi.
Oh, you know what? I'm mistaking it. I'm actually mistaking that. You're right. You know, I. It's been a little while since I've appraised a box of Cheerios brand cereal that wasn't actually Cheerios. Now, for good discrepancy. So here's a couple of things that people generally don't know about these Richard Petty 43s. First of all, Richard Petty personally autographed every single box. That really is his signature down there in the corner. Richard Petty actually... people still question the ethical value of what happened, but he was, some might say he was trapped in the Cheerios factory against his will and forced to sign every box right directly beneath his chin where the shirt met his neck. And there actually are a couple of very, very rare cases where his signature actually broached his chin. Those are the most valuable examples of this. Unfortunately, you do not have one of these. You have one in the regular signature location. So you see the Cheerios are in the shapes of number 4 and number 3, which they actually engineered these Cheerios to only be in that order. Like, if you try to put the 3 in front of the 4, like the 3 swam really quickly around the 4 in your bowl of milk. It was actually kind of terrifying, and I don't want to discuss that again. 200 NASCAR wins, as it said on the back.
Yep.
You obviously...
7 championships.
Yeah, and actually I was just about to get to that. He credits 5 of his 7 championships to his cereal endorsements. So this clearly was a very important part of Richard Petty's racing career. Now, grading this conservatively, I see like you did attempt to open up the box right here.
I didn't, but it was like that when I got it. As I said, it was a Christmas gift.
Well, that's actually unfortunate because it looks like there's a little bit of a tear here along the top. But that aside, I think this item could bring at auction, provided the auction was full of a bunch of toothless rednecks, about $6,000 to $8,000 at auction.
You mean $600,000 to $843?
Oh yes. I forgot about the sales tax in Richard Petty's imagination. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Todd with our first antique item of the night. This is going to be a lot of fun. All right, next up we have. I'd like to bring our first appraiser to the stage. He's an expert in whatever our next person is bringing. Mr. Michael Shibley of the Shibley Institute of Antiques and Shit. And to have his item appraised, St. Thomas Ledoux.
Wait, I need an electrical outlet.
There's plenty up there.
There we go.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Thomas, I believe, yes.
Yeah, so...
well, that is interesting.
I brought for you... This is called a Handy Hannah. And this was passed down from my great-grandmother to my grandmother to my mother and now to me. If you're not familiar, it's basically an antique vibrator. I will demonstrate. So anyway, that is very, very rare and interesting. The Handy Hannah. I have not seen one of those. This is this is, like I said, been used by every woman in my family above me. A lot of orgasm shared on this Handy Hannah here. I personally couldn't use it because I don't have a clitoris that needs pulverizing. I did try to stick out my butt once, and it just made me shit my pants immediately. So
I was going to make sure that you had tried that.
I figured I'd just see if we could find a new home, someone who could pulverize their clitoris with it better than I could.
Absolutely. Well, you happen. Let me handle that here. Really, that is a very stimulating object that we've got here, and it's actually very unique. The Handy Hannah. One of the things, if you actually go back in history, doctors used to have to treat women for hysteria back in Victorian times.
I had some hysterical grandmothers, tell you what.
I mean, a lot of them, especially down here in the South, you know, those pearl necklaces, they get twisted. And they've got to find some release. And actually back then, what would happen is the doctors, and this is true, would, to help with the hysteria, if you want to turn it on here, that would work great. You hear that? Doctors would actually, and this was the thing, the doctors would have an appointment where they would give these women with hysteria a full release. They would, hopefully wearing gloves, go up in there and give the women patients an orgasm. Because they were so hysterical that they needed some sort of release.
You know, it's funny, now that I think about it, all the women in my family have been married to doctors.
It's a good choice for him. I'm sure your inheritance will be really well, even if you don't sell this at auction or whatever you're planning on doing with it. What's actually cool is the fifth device that ever became receiving its own household electronics was a vibrator. You had like a toaster, your oven, different things like that. The fifth one, personal use device, you can look this up, it was actually... a rare form of a vibrator. This is definitely an updated model of the Handy Hannah. And looking at it, I believe it could arouse, if you took it out for auction, it could definitely arouse. Now, there is still a good veneer sheer over the whole device. And
I've kept it polished and lubricated.
Excellent. I'm very glad that you have been able to do that. Even after trying it in the anus, which is something that is, you're always welcome for experimenting, and the more use that it gets out of it, the value has actually gone up because it has been tried in some different holes, which is wonderful.
Before you appraise that, you want to stick it back in my butt real quick? Just
well, let's see here. You can turn it on. There you go.
That's money, baby.
It actually just added value to it that we've done this in front of a studio audience. This has been awesome. But it could definitely arouse, probably if you sold this at auction, for probably about $6,900.
$6,900. That's exciting. That gets me hot.
Excellent. Good luck with it.
Give it up for our antique vibrator expert, Michael Shibley, and antique vibrator owner, St. Thomas Ledoux. Your next appraiser comes to us from behind the bar. He's your bartending mayor, Todd Lewis. And he is an expert in whatever the hell this next performer is bringing up to the stage. Ladies and gentlemen, Bryce Houseel.
Hold up. First things first. I didn't know I was supposed to bring something for this show, so yeah. Thank you, Jeff. All right. What do you have for Daddy this evening? I have this ancient toy maker, aka Shut Your Badass Kids Up. I believe this is technically called in the field, we either call this a clickety clacker or Mama Needs a Drink. Sometimes, if you look at the base, it will tell you who it was made by. They like to stamp
the Craftsman. This one doesn't. But the wrestler China actually made a whole lot of these. But this one doesn't have any specific marking. There is some blue paint on the line here, and that
actually—that's how you know it's not communist. It's American.
Yeah, it adds to the value because it's proof that it's like, you know, it's a handmade, hand played with toy that just drives thoughts of suicide into everyone in their shot that listens to it. Now, how did you come into possession of this particular object?
Yeah, that's a really funny story. One day I was in Reno, and I shot a man just to watch him die. Went up, picked his pockets, didn't find money, but I found that shit, so there you go.
Very good. It's actually, you know, being involved in a murder increases the value.
Whoa. Murder, that's a heavy word. Manslaughter.
Homicide.
Whoa. How about manslaughter? That sounds much nicer, manslaughter.
Okay, manslaughter. A manslaughter. There'll be a manslaughter later with St. Thomas Ledoux. Anyway, closing out. So I've got one last question. If you shot the man just to watch him die,
yeah.
Why did you go through his pockets?
Well, you see, when you're in Reno, there's only so much you can do in Reno. Like, I already got kicked out of all the cat houses, so if you can't get prostitutes and you can't drink, what is there to do in Reno?
I'm not sure. I've never been to Reno. But as I would estimate the value of this object, nervously, at about $835 at auction.
What?
If you found a designated buyer,
what?
You know, someone who was interested in this particular model.
It costs how much?
$850 at auction, no. Like maybe $1,200 if you got a.
Oh, that's a great.
Thank you, sir.
This might be the best event we've had at Friendly Town yet, by my metrics. And I'm only the mayor. I'm only one of the mayors. What do I know? That thing is going in the trash in like 5 seconds. All right, your next appraiser, who is an expert in the item that who happens to be an expert in all sorts of masonry and bricks. Everyone, please give a round of applause to Jake Hendrick. And with a special item that, unlike which we've never seen before, everyone, please welcome Gordon Goodgame.
Hi, sir.
Hello, Gordon Goodgame.
Hi there.
That's an excellent name.
Thank you. It was my father's, too.
So what did you bring today?
So today, are you familiar with the events of April 29th, 1992?
No.
Well, the Friendly Town Police Department worked over at Mr. Rodney King severely, and then the lead singer of the band Sublime, Bradley Noel, used this brick to shatter the window of a liquor store.
Which
actually turned the peaceful protest into a riot.
Wow. Well, that's some interesting information you got there. Well, judging from the brick, I can see that it's been used quite thoroughly. One might say that it came from a house. Also, judging from you, it's probably been involved in a lot of hate crimes. allegedly, that's a subjective term. But as we look at the brick here, you can notice that there's a lot of cocaine dust on the bottom, which would make sense with your Sublime story. It's probably been used recently because I don't think Sublime have had a lot of concerts these days, so they probably just use this as like a makeshift table. You know, in the back of the school bus that they live in. Do you have anything else you can tell me about this?
Well, I received it from my aunt, who was in a mixed relationship with Miles Davis. He received it after a cocaine binge with the lead singer Sublime.
Okay, so when you... That was a lot of information. So when you say mixed relationship, you're not talking like drinks. Okay. That's, it's good to know we have to bring race into this. That's great. I can go ahead and tell you what it's worth if you'd like to know.
Probably three-fifths of its original value. Since it's used.
Actually, I think it's worth more since it's been used. I mean, you know, it's not like a condom. Like it's. You know,
how much is the cocaine on it worth?
That's priceless. That's priceless. I'll be honest. If I had to really put a value on it, I would say this is probably worth one Newport cigarette.
Oh, thank you.
All right, everyone, please join me in thanking again our brick expert Jay Kendrick and our person who totally knows when Miles Davis died. Gordon Goodgame. Don't forget the alcohol. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome to the stage your next appraiser, Miss Liz Brooks. And with a mystery item of which Miss Brooks is a masterful expert on, Mr. John Hurst.
I'm excited.
Good. I'm glad you are.
This has been in my family for many years. Okay. It's a holiday tradition, actually. Let me get it out here. This is the top's coming up a little bit. This is Santor. This is our mythical spirit that we worship for Christmas.
Oh,
so it's, you know, as you can see, it's a centaur, and you can take a closer look at it. It's a centaur, but it's also Santa Claus.
Oh, that's
together.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Tell me the backstory on how it's a part of a fixture of your family.
My mom got it at a dollar store for $2.99, which
couldn't
is
believe that
pretty
for a
much
second.
pretty much a ripoff, actually, when you think about it. No, but it's priceless in my heart.
I'm noting the outline of an attempt to make it anatomically correct.
It tries. It really tried. It tried its hardest, but it didn't quite get there. It didn't feel the Santa spirit within.
Right. But if you really look closely here, you can see the outline of the testes. And that's just really...
I've never noticed that before.
Expert. Interesting. All right. Well, you know, this item, Santor... The first thing that you have to notice is during the great dollar store period of the early 2000s, Christmas ornaments, they really wanted to project a sense of masculinity. That's why if you look closely, you can actually see Santa has a front butt and a six pack. Don't judge my body. Beautiful, really. And I noticed that he has gloves, which is a new addition.
Well, that's part of the tradition. Every Christmas, he comes into your house and he boxes one of your family members.
Oh, of course. And then they're never spoken of again.
Exactly,
German traditions, they're great.
Great. Fantastic.
Now, you know, I do have to say, the fact that we have a watermark here, you can just peel that off if you need to, and it's accoutrements. Which is a fancy word for dollar store, we can really appreciate. I do have to say, more than anything else, that really just makes this a top item in the field of mythical Santa Clauses is the fact that it comes in the package, first of all. Beautiful, magical, never been put on a tree. The follow-up, I do have to say, is more than anything else, beyond the pricelessness of your family, it's the fact that there's something shirtless on your tree, which really is the gift that keeps on giving.
It really is. My mom said that every day.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I do have to ask, on your base assumption, what would you think this is worth at auction?
Well, I'm not really sure. I mean, like I said, it was originally from a dollar store in the 2000s, so at least maybe $5?
Wrong.
Six.
Wrong. Completely. Really? Completely wrong.
Well,
the recession hit, and of course, dad bod became a thing. So that kind of lowers the value. The packaging itself is magnificent, especially this day and age with the current climate of our country. You can just cut that plastic up and use it as a shiv during the revolution, which is great. Just magnificent. But really, because of the recession and the fact that you can't use it to burn as kindling later, I will have to appraise this at 48 cents.
That's a little rough, but I take what I can get there.
You know, the value, more than anything else, is the fact that you have something shirtless on your Christmas tree every year.
And it's worth more than a Newport cigarette, so.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The one thing I can't appraise is that this is worth more than a Lucy.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
Give it up for Liz Brooks and John Hurst, everyone. Everyone, check out Liz's Etsy store while you guys are, if you guys are interested. It's at etsy.com/shivsfortherevolution. She has all kinds of makes and models of shivs. They're all actually pretty beautiful. All right, your next appraiser, who is one of the top experts in whatever our next person is bringing up, Mr. St. Thomas Ledoux, will be appraising an item brought up by our very own City Council member Jeff Danger. Please give it up.
What do you got?
It's a pig with tits with a little pig on it.
I hate to break it to you, dude. That's not a little pig, that's a fucking rat.
Sweet.
Fucking, I swear to God, I get so many fucking yokels in here with fucking ceramic bullshit, and you bring me a thing you don't even fucking...
Look, man, I don't know what it is, that's why I brought it to you to appraise, dumbass.
You wanna know what this is? This is a fucking wasted stint at community college, and every bad decision I've ever made staring me right in the fucking face is what this is.
Was it an expensive community college?
What was the expense? This encounter is the fucking expense. My whole life has been the fucking expense. My kids, you wanna fucking tell your friends your dad's an antique appraiser? What's your fucking dad do? Oh, he fucking knows the price of porcelain rats. Great fag, now we're gonna beat you up on the playground. Bring that home to daddy. What's that worth? I'll tell you what that's worth. A fucking 10-year stint of really bad arguments with your wife who said that's all your fault, and about $8,000 in divorce proceedings, and a much more uncountable crippling addiction to all kinds of fucked up drugs after the divorce.
Is your ex-wife hot?
Goddamn, you're right, she is. And I fucking ain't got shit. I ain't fucked in weeks. I'm thinking hard about sucking one of the titties on this pig right now.
Yeah, that's my favorite part about it, is the tits on it.
Well, luckily for you, goddamn.
Can't those drink tits the microphone.
Those tits are worth something. I think for every tit you net about a grand. See on here? It should have 8 titties, but the hoof is covering up one, so $7,000.
So those fake tits are worth more than fake tits.
It all depends on who you go to see. You go to see budget tits? Yeah.
So the mouse is here.
To bring the metaphor full circle, the little mouse
tits are in a circle. I'm trying to make them laugh, asshole.
Well, each one of these 7 circle tits is worth about $1,000. The mouse will net you about 2 more grand. The pig will net you. The pig ain't worth shit. There's so many fucking porcelain pigs out there. The little rat in the tits is really what makes it a unique piece.
I knew a girl, we called her Rat Tits.
You talking about my ex-wife? Nobody called her Rat Tits but me. All right? I fucking love those Rat Tits. You hear me?
Hey, man, everybody.
My fucking son messed on those Rat Tits.
Everybody messed on those Rat Tits.
Well, for about 10 grand, someone else can own these beautiful Rat Tits here. Fucking Christ. All right.
Jesus. 10 grand. Wow, that's like your wife 20 times. All right, sweet.
All right, gentlemen, I think we have to call this round off. Too much ideation of violence for the Antiques Roadshow. All right, anyway, everyone, give it up for St. Thomas and Jeff Danger. Holy shit. I was waiting to see who was going to go dark first. We kept it on an incredibly positive, sort of constructive note for the first half of the show, but now, we've been there and back, ladies and gentlemen. We've seen the river, and it ain't pretty. All right. We had to do a quick cable replacement. Thank you very much for that, Todd.
That's what happens when you pull the cable out of the mic, you fucking animals.
Hey. I can't count the number of times we've heard that on Antiques Roadshow. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's my distinct pleasure to bring a specialist in skulls. He actually knows more about skulls of all species than you know about human skulls. Everyone, please give it up for Jeff Blank. And your special guest who will be bringing in an item for him to appraise. Everyone, please give it up for Patrick Miller.
Yeah. Pig with tits.
I really enjoyed that tits' casual demeanor. Honestly, that was nice. That's a great piece.
What you got there, man?
Well, speak it to the mic. You tell me, sir. I found this on a late night outing, and I think it might be worth something.
All right, now here's the deal. First of all, I know a lot about a lot of things, but you know what I know a lot about? Fucking bones that you find, dude. All right. Now, first of all, it's not...
Dude, I live by that motto, man.
It's not in its original packaging, which in my experience is garbage bags and twine. So that's an issue. It's definitely a little weathered more than it should have been. It should be caked in leaves and blood. But what kind of animal are we thinking this is? That, 'cause I got to be honest, man. I've seen a lot of dead deers, but a one-pointer, man, that ain't going to get you shit, dude. One-pointer don't give you anything. And never mind. Well, I'm starting to notice that this horn has been tied on with metal. It's metal soldering or something. That's just coming off. So wait, I think... All right. Now, I want to point out that wherever you found this... You probably thought it was something special, but I'm starting to realize that it might just be a hip bone of something that also has a big old horn tied to it. Which is fine, but you could probably make more money off the horn and the hip bone separately.
So more like that.
Yeah, see, how did you acquire this again?
Well, I don't want to bore you with details. Long story short,
but you're gonna.
I had to dig a quick hole and, shovel met this. So what you think I can get for it?
Well, first of all, it looks like the hip bone off a girl named Tammy.
You know too much.
That has been missing for a while.
And also a random horn that I feel like you bought at a truck stop next to a Swiss cake roll that you then tied to said hip bone. And I gotta give you points, man. It looks real good, man. It looks real good. It would look good next to a wolf tapestry on a wall or next to a nice pewter dragon. Or in a snuff film, fair enough. In a snuff film, it might be good. Kind of outfit in a snuff film. I'm going to praise this at about 12 cents, mostly for the metal that is used to tie on it. And then whatever your lawyer fees are for fining us and not contacting the authorities.
Oh, they're quite high. They're quite high, yeah.
But I gotta tell you, man, that's some nice bones, man. See, I'm gonna praise it at that, but I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, man, I'll give you about $28 for it right now.
Yeah, I'll take that.
$28 and a case of Monster Energy drink out in the parking lot. You down?
I'm down.
I'll throw in a Molly Hatch album. All right, let's do it. Yeah, we nailed it.
R.I.P. Tammy.
Fine now.
I should have included that as a caveat.
Can you at least take the fire from Mark?
That thing's got a hex on it. That thing's got a goddamn hex on it. We're going to publish a photo of that thing. Oh, man, looks like the horn just broke off. I guess it wasn't really worth that much.
He's tired.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now that's actually a caveat. If you bring in a skeleton of some kind, it legally goes to the ownership of the appraiser. I should have mentioned that up front here. It's a unique rule we have in Friendly Town, but...